Father, again this morning, it is such a joy being your children, that you're so involved with our lives and with the lives of the people of our communities and the nations. And we want to thank you for your Holy Spirit is showing us and revealing to us the reality of your grace. And there's so much that you want to teach us and help us to be established in. So we receive this morning the ministry of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, to impart that to us. We want to thank you, Father, for when we just look at history, we see your incredible involvement. And as we look at our nation, as we look at our families, as our cities, our communities, wherever we may be, we want to thank you that one thing we know, that you have not changed, and you are still, through your Son Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit, speaking life and touching people's lives. And we want to say thank you, God, that we can rely on you being unchangeable. So this morning, as we come as a family, we want to thank you for how you've been with this nation of ours, how you've involved, how you've been in our own lives, and particularly this morning, as you continually share with us truths about your grace, your nature, your character, about your Son Jesus Christ, and about the Holy Spirit. And this we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to continue with where we've left off there on just getting a better understanding of grace. And I was just reading some theologian, and I think he said he spent 15 years studying grace and he still can't find a definition. Every time he thinks he's got it, it's like, wow, you know, it's just there's so much in understanding the nature of God, whether it's grace, love, kindness, goodness, whatever it may be. Our human definitions are so limited. And that's the joy of the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. He takes us on this incredible discovery of the revelation of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to continue with that this morning as we look at that. So I'm going to start again in Romans 5. And the emphasis this morning is the Holy Spirit and grace. And I believe there will be a lot of freedom from perfectionism in regards to trying to be perfect in order to be fruitful for God, trying to be perfect in order for God to hear your prayers and things like that, to really understand more and more what it means to live in grace, to stand in grace, and the role in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in imparting grace into our lives. And that's basically what we're going to be having a look at this morning. Now, I don't know if you've ever sort of wondered why religion is so hard. it's pretty harsh. Doesn't matter if it's the Christian religion, Hindu religion, traditional African religion, the Muslim religion. Makes no difference. It's pretty hard with the rules and regulations, and it's the number one reason is because the Holy Spirit is absent. It is the Holy Spirit that appropriates, that brings in, that manifests, that ministers the work of Christ Jesus. And Jesus brought grace into being in its fullness. And so that is why the Holy Spirit in our lives is such a gift from God, that we can not have this religious burden, trying to live by all these rules and regulations, but we can live in life and enjoy life. And so we want to thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reality of the new covenant, because the new covenant is a new agreement that God has with mankind through his Son Jesus Christ. And that's about the Holy Spirit's ministering, what Christ has done for us. So if you want to start in Romans 5, and again, just a scripture that we've been spending a bit of time in, and we'll probably stay for a while in this still. But therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And this is God's grace that we're talking about. By what Christ has done, remember what faith is? It's divine persuasion. So as the Holy Spirit spoke to us, we heard our Father speaking to us concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, and we were totally persuaded that what we are hearing concerning Jesus, who he is, what he has done, how God became real, we simply believed, and we were then credited the righteousness of Christ as a gift. The righteousness of Christ for you and I is a gift from God, okay? And so when that took place, you and I entered into this incredible realm of grace, the realm that it's something that God has done for mankind, that which we could not have done by ourselves. God did it in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have received what Christ has done for us that we could not have done ourselves. You know, that's why part of the grace definition, or the manifestation, the fruits of grace, is that undeserved aspect to it over there. We were enemies. Christ came as a man, and he did what he had to do to fulfill the law, etc., in our place. So now, as we simply believe, everything that Christ has done has been imputed to us. It belongs to you and I, and we stand in this realm of grace and through Christ Jesus. And that's the lifestyle that our Father is wanting us to be established, and how to live day by day, how to live our daily lives by being in the reality of the grace that comes through his Son Jesus Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes that a reality to us. It's the Holy Spirit that imparts that, that ministers the grace of God into our lives. And so when we deny the Holy Spirit, when we sort of know the Holy Spirit is not for us, it's harsh, it's hard, because it's only the Holy Spirit that imparts, because he's the Spirit of life, okay? And it's only the Holy Spirit. And that is why in any church environment, in any kind of, you know, setting where the Holy Spirit is sort of pushed out of the operation, out of the ministry, out of the institutional kind of mindset over there, that is why it's very legalistic. And remember, the letter kills, and there's no life at all in there. So I'm sharing this because many of the folk that you're going to be ministering to are very shy of the Holy Spirit, and sort of don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit because of various reasons. But God wants to help us to understand and to really be able to appreciate his incredible gift that is given to you and I as believers, and that is the Holy Spirit. Okay, and so we carry on, and we see over here, and we boast, in faith in the grace in which we now stand, and we boast, and he carries on over there. Let me just get out of here. And we boast in the hope, important word, of the glory of God, important words. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. We get back to hope again. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So here we see, how do you and I experience this incredible hope? How do we experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit? How do we experience the love of God? It's by the Holy Spirit. So you and I experience the love of God by the Holy Spirit that God has given to you and I as believers. And so once again, it is the Holy Spirit that makes the reality of the love of God, of the grace of God, of the righteousness, of the life of God. It's the Holy Spirit that makes all this real to you and I. This is the place of grace in which we stand. That's why the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so, so important for us as believers, to be able to live in the reality of the gospel of God, of the life that we have in Christ Jesus, the abundant life, the eternal life that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ and through him. And so we've been looking at that. So when we looked at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And so once again, when we're speaking about standing in this grace, living in the grace, what Paul is writing over here, the law of the Spirit who gives life, it's exactly the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit that imparts the life of Christ Jesus into our lives over there. What Christ has done, his death and resurrection, the victory of his ascension and his glorification, it is the Holy Spirit. We've heard this many, many times, but hearing it is different to living in the reality of it. And that's what our Father is wanting us to become conscious, so that on a daily basis we live in the reality of this. And I know in my own life, it is only when we become conscious and this starts to become established in our lives do we actually realize how often we lived our lives outside the grace of God. We don't realize it when we don't know, and we haven't tasted this truth and established in this grace that we stand in the life of the Holy Spirit. And that is why he wants us as believers to be able to really understand and to live in this truth. Okay, so we see that, for instance, in John chapter 3, Holy Spirit was the person that brought us into the reality of being born again. We are born by the Spirit of God, born again by the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, we also, if you can recall over there, we began our incredible relationship with God by the Holy Spirit. So keep in step with the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We see in John chapter 14 right through to chapter 17 where Jesus is promising the gift of the Holy Spirit, and because of the Holy Spirit, what's going to take place? The life that we're going to experience, because we now have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And that's crucial. In John chapter 14, or let me go before we get there in Ezekiel, let me just read Ezekiel over here. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. Here, again, it's a prophetic word, not only for the life of Israel, but for the body of Christ as well, for the new temple, for us in Christ Jesus. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So here, you know, have you ever connected this to John chapter 14. I don't think we connect. That's why religion is hard. Trying to obey the commands of Jesus is very hard if we do not have the Holy Spirit. Because God says in this whole new covenant, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And so in John, in chapter 14, when Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit, he replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. God has poured his spirit into his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We love God because of the Holy Spirit within us. We love God because he first loved us. And so here we see the connection. Because we have the Holy Spirit within us, God said, I'll put my Spirit in you to move you to obey. And that's why you are now able to obey our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why his commands are not burdensome. His yoke is not heavy, because we have the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God within us, enabling us to obey. Folk who do not obey, folk who do not love, in other words, folk that are not born again, cannot obey because the power of sin controls them. Everything about their lives is totally resisting the things of God. They don't have any understanding. But you and I, we've got the Holy Spirit within us, and that is why we're able to obey God. So, you know, often people are saying, you know, concerning in the workplace, Christians that call themselves Christians, but during the week they're doing this, they're doing that, etc., etc. The key is over there, have they been born again? Do they have the Spirit of God in them? Because the Spirit of God, see that this Holy Spirit appropriates the grace of God. What man could not do. Remember when Jesus says, sacrifices and offerings you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. I have come to do your will, Father. See, and so Jesus' obedience, he did what we could not have done. We could not have obeyed the law. We could not have obeyed God. Mankind fall short. Christ's obedience. We have now been credited Christ, what Christ did and his obedience. And now we have the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit appropriates the grace. He's appropriating, he's applying, he's ministering to us that which we could not have done. Now, by the Holy Spirit, you and I, as taken out of Adam into Christ Jesus, you and I are able to obey and to follow and to live out in obedience the incredible teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within us, appropriating the grace of God, that which we could not have done. Now, grace is God's help, God leaning forwards, giving himself to you and I to be able to follow this. And so when we're speaking about the grace of God, it's God's provision for everything that you and I need to be able to live as children of God. Everything that we need to be able to live as children of God. It's God's provision that is made through his son Jesus, and now by the Holy Spirit ministers everything that you and I need to be able to live as children of God. So any teaching that we read in the scriptures over there, the Holy Spirit is a person because he's empowering us to be able to, remember it is God who wills in us to act according to his great pleasure. So all the time it's the Holy Spirit that is doing that incredible work. Now, unto him is able to do immeasurably more according to the power of God that is at work within us. He prays, by the Father, by the Spirit, give them revelation and understanding of your ways. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's grace. All the time, standing in grace, receiving the grace by the Holy Spirit of understanding, of revelation, of being able to live out the Christian life, to be able to love one another, and so forth. You know that when John writes in John chapter 1 that Jesus is full, he brought in the fullness, he brought in the fullness of grace and truth. Moses brought in the law was given to Moses, and just two good examples when we look at that, because in the Old Testament we see such a revelation of the righteousness of God, of the justice of God, and so forth. But grace was there as well, but not in its fullness. So the sacrificial whole system of the offerings, etc., there's grace, but not in its fullness. Christ fulfilled it. That sacrifice could not cleanse the conscience of man. Only the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience. It's the same when we look at a well-known scripture that we quote, Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty That's partial grace because it's dwelling in the shadow. Now Christ brings in the fullness of grace and truth. We don't dwell in the shadow. We dwell in him. He dwells in us. You see, that's the fullness of grace and truth. And that's how when we read the Old Testament, we've got to come and we've got to say, okay, how does Jesus bring in the fullness of grace and truth of what we see as a shadow in the Old Testament? And that then opens up our understanding. And that's why in South Africa particularly, you know, so many in the body of Christ are pretty stuck because there's so much Old Testament teaching without the revelation of what Christ has done. And so remain pretty stuck over there, not really understanding the life of the Holy Spirit and appropriating and bringing in the truth of Jesus. So that was another very important scripture. So in Zechariah chapter 4, we read over there, Zechariah's got a huge task of rebuilding the temple. The enemy, the opposition, all that is against him over there. You know, the people are discouraged, and it's a tough thing over there, a mandate that God gave to Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, God speaks to him and says, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That's profound, because here we see there that here again is an incredible reality of the role of the Holy Spirit. Now this, again, there's a rebuild in Nehemiah, etc., was a miracle. It was done in such a short period of time because there was the grace of God. There was the ministry of the Holy Spirit doing that was impossible for man to do. And we see that to bring people together, to work together in unity, etc., to be able to overcome all the opposition and the fear that they were facing, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And remember, today we are the temple of God. We are the temple which the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the body of Christ, you and I. And so he goes on and he says over there, notice there, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he goes in verse 7, what are you mighty mountains? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become level grounds. Then he will bring out the capstones to shouts of God bless. That word God bless, the original is the grace of God, grace of God. And so as Zerubbabel brings out the last capstone of the building of the temple over there, the people look and they say, wow, this has been God's grace, God's grace. The Holy Spirit it brings in the grace of God in building the body of Christ. That's why, as I said, that everything that you and I need to live a Christian life, to live as a child of God, it's the Holy Spirit appropriating the grace of God, enabling us to be able to live. He doesn't give us a command, love one another, and doesn't provide the grace to empower us to be able to love one another. The Holy Spirit, it's the life of the Holy Spirit that we live by. And so, sorry, now, listen to this amazing truth here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now we have probably one of the incredible chapters in this letter in Corinthians, where we get such an insight to the new covenant versus the old covenant that came through Moses, the covenant of the law. So God had an arrangement with the Israelites. I'm going to be dealing with you. The arrangement is this law that I'm giving to you. That's how I'm going to deal with you. And that's how we're going to have this kind of relationship. Now in Christ Jesus, I have a new arrangement with you. I have a new agreement, a new covenant with you. And what Christ has done, he has brought in grace and truth. And so God deals with you and I, deals with mankind based on this new agreement, this new covenant that Jesus brings in and was established by his blood. And so we see over here, Paul is writing and he's speaking about yourselves are a letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablet or stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. I'm sharing this, and this is what's so important, because as you and I become conscious of what Christ has done, as we simply by faith have received the gift of righteousness, and because of that simple faith in Jesus, we stand in this realm of grace. Now, as you and I are living our lives, as we are involved in the Great Commission, as we pray, as we share the gospel, as we encourage people, as whatever the gifts are, what you're operating in over there, so often, religion will come and say you're not good enough. You don't know how to speak the language correctly. You don't know how to do this. You don't have to do that. Blah blah blah. This God wants to free us because he wants us to realize that it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's working through your simple faith. You simply believe. And as you go and you just love and you share the gospel, as you do what God has told you to do, there's the power of the Holy Spirit imparting the grace, releasing the grace, ministering grace to the hearers. So the Spirit of God is writing on their hearts. It frees us from having to be perfect in our own mind to be able to be involved in ministering to people all around us. So many folk are saying, I can't go and pray. I can't do this with people. I can't go share the gospel to people because I'm not qualified enough. I'm not good enough. My life's, all the kind of excuses. Get into grace. Okay. And you'll experience the power of God working because it's the Holy Spirit ministering to us. And so you show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And then he carries on over there. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. God has made this, this is how it works. The Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and makes it known to you and I. It was the Holy Spirit that imparted the life of God in us when we got born again. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us life. And that is why when Paul writes about keep in step with the Holy Spirit, and he goes on, we live by the Holy Spirit all the time. That is the same thing that we're reading over here. That is you and I standing in grace. That's you and I. As we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we are standing in grace. When we are disobedient to the Holy Spirit, we are not standing in grace. Jesus brings in grace. The Holy Spirit appropriates that grace in our lives. And that's why, guys, embrace the Holy Spirit, okay? incredible gift that God has given to you and I. And that's why even in the whole now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image, ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The inner transformation that you and I go through is because of the life of the Spirit within us, appropriating the grace of God. It is God leaning forwards, giving himself everything that you and I need to be able to be transformed, to be able to live as a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is imparting that to us, the life of the Holy Spirit is being released in us over there. And so we live in that kind of victory. So when you get back to this Romans chapter 5 again over here, we see over there that, let me just go back to the beginning over here, into this grace in which we now stand. And then we see over there that in verse 6, you see that just at the right time, when we were still powerless, you see, grace is what God did in which that you and I could not have done. We were still powerless. So he has a demonstration of grace. Christ died for the ungodly. Remember grace? It's the active love of God. And it's communicated to you and I, to mankind, through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so here we see the active love of God sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die when we were still powerless, which we could not have saved ourselves. Grace in action over there. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So someone might die for a righteous or a good person, but for a rotten sinner, a rotten wicked, the most evil person, no one will die for that person, but Christ died for that person as well. And that because grace is for all of mankind, not just for those that maybe someone will die for because they deserve it, you know. It's for all of mankind. So when you and I are praying for our nation and we are standing in grace, we are praying for those who we perceive to be unworthy of God's love. We are praying because God is reaching out to them, all of mankind. You and I, we're no different. We were sinners. Christ died for us. He died for mankind. And that is why it's so important in understanding to pray for a nation, to pray for a community, to pray for your enemies, to pray for whoever the case may be. When you're standing in grace, you know that God has already done it. He's already, his Son has already died for all undeserving people. He loves us so much. And that, so, it's not that he's still going to do it. He's already done it. Okay. Christ has already died. And so you just want to partake in that grace. And that's why you and I have the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation, because we're standing in grace. We are ministers of the Holy Spirit. We are ministers of the new covenant. The Holy Spirit is appropriating the fullness of grace and truth that Christ brought into reality. And that's the good news of God. And that's the power of the gospel that sets people free, because that's God's grace operating as we proclaim and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, and so we carry on, and he says over there, but God demonstrated his own love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So here we see again the manifestation of the grace of God. And then it carries on about us being reconciled. But here in verse 15, I wanted to stop here. But the gift. He's speaking about the gift of righteousness. That Christ, that God gave to you and I because of Jesus Christ. So the righteousness of Christ was imputed to you and I. Remember, imputation is concerning the way God thinks. And the way God thinks belongs to you and I. So as we believed in God's way of thinking, you believe in my Son, you will receive his righteousness. It belongs to you. And by faith, you get that. And so we have received the righteousness of God. His righteousness belongs to you and I. That's why there's no condemnation. That's why we've been justified, because of the righteousness of Christ that's been given to us. And then he goes on there. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more that God's grace and the gift, this is the righteousness that comes because of God's grace, gift come by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. And so here we see the reality that you and I experienced. Now we stay He's asking, it's Holy Spirit teaching us what it means to be able to stand in this grace, this how much more grace that comes through Jesus Christ. And that is why in Galatians chapter 3, even in Galatians chapter 5, Paul is dealing with the reality of Christ is not enough. I've got to add something else to Jesus Christ. He's tackling that over there because they're moving out of this abundant grace. They're moving out of standing in grace, and they're now going into, no, Christ is not enough. And we may laugh at that, but we walk by faith. And just say, for instance, when it comes to anything in our lives, we walk by faith. There comes a time when we start to say, but is Jesus enough? Do I need to take something else? Do I need an alternative? And so we go into, oh no, Jesus is not enough. And it's very subtle. And that's why when we stand in grace, Jesus is always enough, because grace is everything that you and I need that comes through Jesus and is made known and manifested by the Holy Spirit into our lives. And so he's helping us to remain in this place of grace and to know that Christ is sufficient. He's more than enough for you and I, and everything that you and I need by the Holy Spirit. And that is the journey of faith that we have to be established in at this time. Okay, and so here we have over here, nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one man's sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. So then we get to an amazing scripture over here, and in verse 20, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but when sin increased, grace increased all the more, for that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we go, let me just go here, verse 17 as well. Because death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And so here we see twice now that Paul is saying that because of the gift of righteousness, we stand in this grace, and because of this grace, we are able to reign in life through Jesus Christ. And twice he's emphasized that reality of reigning before death reigned, before sin reigned in one's life. But now we've been set free of that incredible power of sin. So sin does not reign in us anymore. Now the life of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, is what reigns in our life. And the grace of God reigns in our life. Guys, this is so big when we begin to just meditate, but God, your grace reigns in my life. And to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to take you into an amazing understanding of what this grace of God is that comes through Jesus Christ, in which we now stand in. We're in this reality of your grace. Now help me by the Holy Spirit to be able to live in the truth of what it means to reign in life. And so from Romans chapter 6 onwards, in Romans 7 and Romans 8, Paul begins to unlock the truth of what it means when he speaks about over here that now with this gift of grace and the gift of righteousness, you and I are able to reign in life through Jesus Christ. And that's the whole message in the rest of Romans, chapters 6, 7, and 8. And that's why when Paul writes, what shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And then he carries on over then, and this is so important. He says, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, see, Paul is unlocking what it means. Because of this grace, we're able to reign. What does this reigning mean? See, before we were slaves to sin, before we were offering our bodies to impurity, to all kinds of things, now in Christ Jesus, that we've been set